Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
This is brought to you by SoFi, a modern finance company. All right, I'm joined now on the 49ers Insider Podcast by 49ers Assistant Strength and Conditioning Coach Shane Wallen. And Shane, I got to be honest with you, I really don't want to have you on the podcast under these circumstances. It's been a rough week for a lot of people from where you and I come from.
Right.
Can you kind of give us the brief overview on why I'm having you on this podcast?
First of all, thanks for having me. And, although they are under unfortunate circumstances, I'm definitely willing to share. So, Thursday morning, I took a look at my phone. I follow the Action News Now, which is the local, news authority around there. And it said that a fire had started, in Upper Paradise, Megalia, Concow area. At the time, it was like about 1,000 acres, and so I decided to give my dad a call because I was a little concerned. So I reached out, and he answered the phone. I just said, "Hey, what's going on? You know, it says they're evacuating all of Paradise," and he goes, "Oh no, like you know, it's just in Upper Megalia or Upper Paradise and Concow. They should be able to put it out. I'm fine." And I said, "Well, you know, on the Action News says that you know they're evacuating everyone in Paradise." He goes, "That can't be right." You know, and so my stepmom was calling him, so he said, "Let me get back to you. I got to answer the phone." So I was busy for a couple hours, wasn't able to get around to my phone until about 12:30, and then I took a look at the website, and it had grown to about 10,000 acres. So now I'm really concerned, right? And it's 12:30
at that point, 0% contained,
right? And that was the most concerning thing, is like they didn't have a hand on it, and it was spreading like wildfire. And so I give my dad a call, and I said, "Dad, you better get out of there," because he goes, "Yep, I'm in the car. I've got the dogs, and we're heading out right now." And I was like, were you able to grab anything? And he goes, no, I'm thinking we'll probably be back tomorrow." And I was sitting there like, I don't think so. The way this is kind of going, the way it sounds, it's really a big deal.
Your dad, he lived by Paradise High School, about a block away from Paradise High School. And that's more in the central part of town.
Right. That's right. It's right above downtown.
Right above downtown. And then to evacuate, you have to go, it would be west to right. Chico.
Right.
So he still, I would imagine the evacuation, there's a lot of gridlock,
yes,
even from the central part of town on the Skyway down to Chico.
Correct. And by that time, he still didn't really know it was as close as it was, but by that time already, the McDonald's, which is a quarter mile from our house, was burnt to the ground already. So when he got in his car and started driving, he kind of realized the magnitude of what was going on, because, he got into downtown Paradise, which is like a mile below him, and everything was on fire. And
he could see,
he
saw the flames.
Yeah. So, and then he was, driving down Skyway, and I'm on the phone with him the whole time, making sure he gets out all right. And, he was telling me what he saw, and it was, he was watching 15 to 20 homes burn right in front of him, businesses, structures, all being burned right in front of him. He's sitting there saying, there's 10 to 15 foot flames on both sides of the Skyway, and he's driving right through the middle of it. So all the videos that you guys have seen online of, people driving through downtown Paradise and on the Skyway, that's what my dad was essentially going through. And, pretty scary moment. I'm glad he made it out. And but yeah, it was tough to sit there and hear, and you know, because he's like, man, I'm getting, you know, these flames, it's the heat, you know, I'm getting hot, I'm starting to sweat inside my car. And so I didn't know what was going to happen, but you know, fortunately he made it out all right. And you know, obviously we lost our home, like most of the Paradise community and parts of Magalia, and so that's unfortunate, but I'm definitely happy that my family and my dogs made it out alive. And you know, when you think about it, our situation is not as bad as some people, so you got to be thankful for that.
Was he, when he was leaving, when he was evacuating, was it gridlock? Was he moving? Were people panicking? I mean, I was up there on Saturday, and there are a lot of cars you see on the side of the road of people who just ditched their car and said, right, I can walk faster than I can drive at this point.
Right. He did hit some traffic. I don't think it, you know, it stopped him, though. He didn't have to get out of his car and run. But when I was on the phone with him, yeah, he said he definitely, you know, he was in dead stop traffic for a little bit, and then they would move a little bit. And so there definitely was some traffic, which was the biggest concern for me. It was like, I just wanted him to get out of there and get down to Chico as fast as he could. But I, you know, fortunately he made it out. I did hear, the stories of people legitimately ditching their cars and running down the skyway to escape these fires, which is just heartbreaking. Yeah. I can't imagine. So.
And your dad, Bob?
Yes.
Wallen, what does he do?
He's retired. I mean, he's almost 70 years old now. So, you know, and, but he, you know, in the meantime, he was doing some side work on houses. He's kind of a handyman. He's, you know, been a painter for 30, 40 years. And, you know, he, up until this year, he owned, about 4 or 5 houses in Paradise that, he had bought, you know, before the market crashed in 08. And, you know, but he sold them and got rid of them all, this year. So he wasn't really doing all that much. My stepmom, Sharon, was, she was at work. She left for work at about 6:37 when it all started.
She works where?
She works at a, like a medical insurance company in Marysville, Yuba City area.
Okay. So she was out of, she was out of harm's way.
Right. Yeah. And so when she got to work, all of her coworkers were like, you need to go home. You know, all of Paradise is on fire. And so she hopped right back in the car and drove back. She tried to get into Paradise, but no one was letting them in. No one was letting anyone into Paradise. At that point, they had already turned the Skyway into a 4-way coming all the way down.
Yeah, so people who don't know, it's two lanes going up and 2 lanes going down.
Right.
And at some point, once the evacuation began, they cut off the eastbound lanes and turn it all into 4 lanes going westbound.
Correct. Yeah.
You're North Valley, born and, you know, all the way through?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I split time between, staying at my mom and dad's house. My mom and, my stepdad, lived in Chico, and my dad and my stepmom lived in Paradise for the last 20 years. So, growing up, I kind of split time up there. You know, I still consider Paradise and both Chico my home. Both those places I have a lot of ties and roots to, and know a lot of people. So, yeah, North Valley boy, born and raised.
Yeah, and you went to Pleasant Valley High School.
Correct.
Played football there.
I did.
You have a brother?
I have a twin brother.
And
yeah.
You guys played football together?
Yeah, we played. We played at PV. He stopped playing after our, I think he was our sophomore year or junior year. I can't remember. But he stopped playing. He was really good with track. He ran the 400, the 100, the 200. So he kind of focused on track, and then made his way into the military. He always wanted to be a Marine. So, you know, when he was 17, we graduated high school at 17, and he had to have my dad sign the paper for him to go to boot camp because he wasn't 18 yet. So he served 5 years, and now he's living in Oahu. But he's actually looking to come back, flying in tonight, hopefully, and I'm gonna take him up to Chico and Paradise with me.
So you went to the Pleasant Valley, and then you went to Butte College.
I did.
And what did you do at Butte?
So kind of a long story. I'll start out here. My mom was really sick, you know, half or more of my high school career. She had battled cancer 3 different times. you know, and at one point it was our senior year and she had had her third surgery now, and she had esophageal cancer, so cancer of the esophagus. She had to go down to UCSF and have her entire esophagus replaced with part of her intestine. So that was a huge major surgery. She was down there in rehab recovering for at least a month. And during that time, my stepdad, who I adore, love him to death, he slept in her minivan in the parking lot for most of the month and just kind of looked after her and made sure she was all right, because hotels down there are ridiculously expensive, mm-hmm. and we never really had any money. And so when that was all said and done, she came back home, and she was just having a lot of complications, a lot of issues still. And so we decided to take her back in, have a couple more scans done, and found out that the cancer had spread again to her liver, her back, and her kidneys. And you know, I got a call one day. At this time, I had moved out of my house. This is going into my freshman year in college.
And you were going to play football at Butte, right?
Right. I was doing summer ball. I was working out. Fall camp was about to start. You know, and I get the news from my aunt that the doctors gave my mom 4 months to live. So I was heartbroken, obviously. I didn't really know what to do. You know, but I knew one thing, that, you know, my mom gave me life when in all reality she wasn't even supposed to have kids. And so, you know, it was my turn to basically take care of her. And so I basically gave up football. I stopped playing because I knew realistically I didn't have a shot at turning football into a career. You know, I was realistic about my situation. And so I gave that up. I went out and got 3 jobs so I could work full time, support myself, and help out my mom and see her as much as I could while still going to school, because that was something she'd always stressed, and I was going to be the first in my family to graduate. So so I did that. And a couple months later, she passed away July 4th, 2012. So 4th of July is always kind of a hard day for me, and my brother.
You said you couldn't turn football into a career, but that's exactly what you're doing.
Right.
At what point did you realize that I want to be a strength and conditioning coach? Is that something to keep you around this sport you love?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because in high school I kind of had an idea in my head that I wanted to be in the weight room, and, you know, because that's what I more or less relied on. I wasn't the most physically gifted individual on the football field, but no one was ever going to outwork me, and no one was going to ever outplay me, and that's what I relied on, you know. So the weight room was huge for me, and I just loved being around the iron. And, you know, once that was all said and done, I came back to my junior college the following year and asked if I could help out in the weight room. And that's kind of where I got my start, at Butte Community College, which is also the home of Aaron Rodgers,
as is Pleasant Valley
and my high school. So I went back out there. I started helping out. We actually won the national championship in 2013, which was huge. And then for me,
you were on the strength and conditioning staff then?
Yeah. And so for the next step for me was, you know, I got my associate's degree. I want to go get my undergrad degree, but I want to go do it at the highest level in college. For me, I wanted to stay kind of close to home if I could. And obviously, like I said, I didn't have a lot of, I had no money. I was on my own. So, you know, I knew student loans were going to be a thing for me. And I just kind of, you know, took that for what it is. And I applied to Oregon State, and I got in the following day after I applied. And I went up there to work and go to school, volunteer in the weight room as a strength conditioning intern. I did that for a year and a half. And then the new coaching staff came in, Gary Anderson and his crew.
And you got the bug to play, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd always wanted to play. I was out at practice, and I'm like, man, I can play with these guys. Like, you know, and I always believed in myself even when, you know, others didn't. Like, mm-hmm. And that was, I think that's part of the reason why I'm kind of in the position I am today. and I believe in myself, and for me, that's, you know, that's all I really need. And so, you know, we got to talking with some of the operations guys and personnel guys, and, you know, they were short at running back, and, you know, they had seen me in the weight room working out. They see me on the field running, and, you know, so they decided to give me an opportunity, and I kind of ran with it. I had 2 weeks to get ready for spring ball, and, you know, they threw me in the fire, but I came out, I made it, and, you know, I eventually ended up earning a scholarship and playing on special teams, and, you know, I had one final year eligibility, so I just played 1 year, and, you know, that was my dream. You know, I was living my dream, and you know, my mom, who obviously wasn't, you know, there in person, but she was there in spirit, I know she saw it, and, you know, that was kind of what kept me going every day.
That's
know,
awesome, man.
Making it through, yeah.
That is great. And so, I noticed a couple of weeks ago, or when was it? There's a picture of you with all the Oregon State guys, Victor Bolden. Is it Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks. Sean Mannion, we couldn't grab him. He ran into the locker room. But
this
Johnny
is when the
Hecker,
Rams and 49ers
yeah,
played.
Yeah, Johnny Hecker and I think, was there one more? Or was that it? That might have been it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I try and take a picture with all the guys that are alum, and because that university means a lot to me, and, you know, they gave me an opportunity of a lifetime. And so
how did you end up in the NFL?
You know, so in coaching, the traditional route is, you know, you get your undergraduate degree and you go get a master's degree and you do your GA, and then you kind of head into an entry-level position in strength conditioning anyway. I was a couple months removed from getting my bachelor's degree, and I basically just started reaching out to head strength conditioning coaches in the NBA, the NFL, and the MLB, and then also applying for several entry-level positions, graduate assistant jobs in college. You know, I probably applied to over 100 different positions, I had some interviews that I was going through, and, you know, one of the guys that I had reached out to via LinkedIn was a guy named Adam Beard, and he was the director of high performance for the Cleveland Browns, and I had reached out to him, and, you know, he hadn't gotten back to me in about 2 or 3 months, and then all of a sudden he had somebody leave, and he remembered that I had reached out, and he had looked me up, and, you know, he saw that I had good intentions, and I was passionate about what I do. And so that kind of sparked something in him, and he decided to reach back out and just said, hey, you know, if you're still looking for an opportunity, I got one for you.
And what year is this?
This was 2016.
So you want to pay off your student loan debt or credit card debt and invest and save? Sounds like you're ambitious. SoFi can help you work toward accomplishing it all. Refinance student loans, invest, and get personal loans for home renovation projects or to consolidate credit card debt. This is why I, SoFi. Get started at SoFi.com. SoFi.com. Terms and conditions and state restrictions apply. CFL 6054612. Advisory services offered through SoFi Wealth LLC. So how many years did you spend with the Browns?
So I spent 2 years in Cleveland.
2 years in Cleveland. Yep. And then how did this opportunity with the 49ers arise?
Very similar. I was in a position where, you know, in the NFL, you do 2 years as an intern, and either you move up or you go find another job. So my 2 years was up, and I was basically out looking for a job, and I wanted to stay in the NFL. I love the dynamic here. I love the culture and just being at this level. So I, again, you know, reached out via email to almost every head strength coach in the NFL, just inquiring about an opportunity, paid, unpaid, whatever it was. Just any opportunity to get my foot in the door and stay up at this level, I was willing
and
to
prove
do.
Yourself.
Right. And so one of the last teams I reached out to was the 49ers. And the reason behind that was, you know, it was a new staff. You know, they were 1 year in. I was like, they're probably not going to be making any changes this quick. So, but, you know, I said, I have nothing to lose. I can gain a potential, you know, relationship here with the head strength coach, if anything, you know. So I decided to reach out, and Ray Wright, the head strength coach here, got back to me in 5 minutes or less, got me on the phone later that day, and then had, you know, we had a great conversation and said, hey, look, I'm going to bring this idea, bring you on to the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, and see what he says. I'll get back to you on Monday.
So that was Friday. And this was when?
This was in February or January, late January. I got here in February. So he gets back to me on Monday and says, hey, Kyle's all in. He's totally cool with bringing you on. We just got to pass it up through John Lynch, the general manager. And, you know, once he signs off on it, you know, you're going to come back home. You're going to be a 49er. So I was trying not to get my hopes up too much because I know I had to pass up through John and before anything was official. And, you know, my dad being he was actually a Bay Area native. He's from Burlingame. And I think he was more excited than I was because he's a lifelong Niner fan. So, and I grew up watching him. I went to the NFC Championship game in 2011. And so I'm also a fan. And so anyway, Friday comes and I get a call from Ray and he goes, hey, man, I got some bad news for you. And he goes, we couldn't get you the job, man. I couldn't do it. And so I'm extremely bummed. Like, and I'm just like, my head's in my lap. And then he goes, but you're going to be a 49er. And, you know, he was messing with me. And so I ended up getting the job. And,
that's cruel, man.
Yeah, no, I know. That's just his humor, though. He's awesome. And I thank Ray every day for the opportunity he gave me, and John and Kyle, both those guys, all three of them, actually, you know. So it was a great opportunity. And I'm, you know, to be able to come back home and work for the team I grew up watching was awesome.
Yeah. So this is, you know, the NFL,
right?
It's family.
Right.
How have the 49ers, how has the NFL community supported you through this horrible time with your dad's house burning?
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly been overwhelming. I think it all started out with Ray, my boss, telling me, hey, like, you know, Thursday, he's like, if you need to go, go, you know, we got your back. We'll take care of everything like for you, just go. And so it was about 4 or 5 o'clock at night on Thursday. And I just said, hey, I gotta go. Like, my dad needs me and my stepmom needs me. And, you know, they had nowhere to sleep. They didn't have a bed. And thank goodness George Kittle was getting rid of his. And, I drove that thing down there in my truck, strapped it to my truck and drove it down there. And
that's awesome.
And it's, my dad said it's the most comfortable bed he's ever slept in. You know, he's like, his exact words were, I slept 4 hours in a row without waking up, and that I haven't done that in years. Oh. You know, so but anyway, so I get there and try to get settled in for the night. I got in pretty late, and then, you know, Friday morning I get a call from John Lynch, just checking in on me, seeing how I am and if there's anything I need. And so that was the start of it, and I was like, wow, like, this organization really cares. And then to see how they've stepped up, and the North Valley Community Foundation, they're donating a ton of money, and the 50-50 raffle. Everyone from the top down, you know, Kyle Shanahan, assistant coaches, front office, my coworkers, everyone that's kind of heard has all came up to me and said, hey, do you need anything? And the players have been instrumental too in helping me get my GoFundMe page out. They've also donated a ton of money, which I cannot be more thankful for.
We can't even probably begin to list all the guys who have tweeted support for you.
Right.
They've all tweeted the link to the GoFundMe page.
Right.
Tell me about the GoFundMe page.
The GoFundMe page, I decided to start Thursday night, I think it was, or Friday morning. And, at first I didn't really know where I was going to, donate the money to or how I was going to go about dispersing it. I'm still weighing my options, but it's looking right now like we're going to, follow in your guys' footsteps and maybe donate to the North Valley Community Foundation. I have a buddy as well who works for Congressman Ro Khanna. His name's Cooper Tebow, and he is his campaign manager, and he's done a lot of research, and he is donating through the Wildfire Relief Fund. And so we've kind of narrowed it down to those two right now. But all that money will go to either one of those organizations they get on the ground and do the work that needs to be done right now. And it goes straight to the victims and rebuilding homes and all that stuff. So,
and I think that's a thing that maybe, I think people realize it, but I cannot express to you enough the level of devastation in that area. Right. Paradise is a town of 27,000 people. Mm-hmm. Magalia is a smaller town, up above Paradise, and it's absolutely decimated. Businesses,
right.
Houses, they're saying 90 to 95% of structures have been destroyed, and the 5 or 10% that's hasn't been destroyed, I don't know where those people would shop or do anything, and the smoke damage in those places are really bad too.
Right.
So this is a great cause. This isn't an affluent area
right.
by any stretch.
No,
those people can use all the help that they can get to help them get back up on their feet.
100%. Yeah, I mean, and that's the whole goal here is, you know, even outside the GoFundMe, I want to do everything I can to immediately assist in it, anyone that needs it. And I mean, when I went back on Thursday, I spent the better half of Friday night and early Saturday morning, going to the Elks Lodge and the neighborhood church and grabbing supplies and giving them to people who are sleeping in the Walmart parking lot in their cars, because the hotels are all booked up. They've got nowhere else to go. The shelters are all booked up and aren't taking people. So, I saw a pregnant woman with her boyfriend sleeping in their car. A family with children sleeping in their cars that have no blankets. So a friend of mine, Austin Johansson, and myself went around and just handed out blankets, food, clothes, anything we can get our hands on to try and help those people immediately. And that, moving forward, that's the same plan I'm going to have, when I go back, is to try and help anyone and everyone I can.
All right. Well, Shane, hey, thank you very much for everything. Thank you for sharing your story. And, on behalf of all of my listeners, wishing you and your family nothing but the best. And thanks for doing this. And I will continue to get the word out of where people can donate.
Of course, Matt. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, that was Shane Wallen, the 49ers assistant strength and conditioning coach. And if you get a chance and you have the wherewithal to do so, I know a lot of people would appreciate contributing to his GoFundMe page as he kind of sifts through what he wants to do with that money. I know he was going to be going up to the North Valley to check in on his dad and help out as much as he could during the bye week. And I bring in now Laura Britt. Laura, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Matt. Monday night just feels a little bit somber.
Yeah.
Not just the loss, but with all the stuff going on with the fires, Northern California and Southern California. And then it's Veterans Day, or we're honoring veterans today, as Veterans Day was on Sunday. It's just a moment that you kind of stop and realize that things are bigger than you. And I think we need moments like that. Seeing the Paradise High School football team at the Monday night football game, I got chills being around them. I had the whole team behind us, and I got to be honest, I really did. You get chills thinking about, just take yourself back to high school for a moment and think about what it's like to not have a home to go home to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that feeling.
And it's almost every single one of them. And to see smiles on their faces, what a great gift the 49ers gave to them, a moment to forget what reality is like. And even something like a bus ride, a 4 to 5 hour bus ride, those are memories for high schoolers. Those are special times, even though it sounds miserable to us now. I know it does to me. I'm like, oh, a 4 hour bus ride, that sounds terrible. But that's a special moment to be yeah. around your friends and just take a second, not have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
It's a really special gift. And I know you've been up there and have seen that devastation. I can't imagine what it's like in person. But this game was just about so much more. I know it was a loss for the 49ers, but I almost feel like there's no way they could have lost tonight with what they did for Paradise and the community. They're raising so much money. So many of the players have donated jerseys, game worn jerseys, to be auctioned off. That money's going to be raised and sent to that community. It just really does feel like the community's coming together and supporting each other.
Yeah, it breaks your heart because that football team you saw out there Monday night, the Paradise Bobcats, they made it to the playoffs. They were the second or third seed in the playoffs, and they had to forfeit their first-round playoff game. And Red Bluff, their opponent, said, no, you know, you're the higher seed. You're the better team. You guys take the victory and move on to the next round. And Paradise said, gosh, we just can't do it. I mean, it's just so many lives have been, you know, just through an upheaval.
Yeah, they had to suspend their season.
Yeah, they just had to say that we can't do it because all these guys, you know, so many of the students, so many of the coaches, the cheerleaders, the teachers, so everybody who, you know, so many people who live in that community, they just don't have a home to go to. And so there are a lot, unfortunately, that, you know, their football season had to come to an abrupt end. Because there's other things that now they have to concern themselves with, and practicing for a football game isn't one of them.
I saw on Shane Wallen's Twitter account, actually, if you guys want to go see this video, it's really touching to see this video. The football team was out on the field before the game and took their first snaps as a football team since everything that's happened.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't see that. So if you want to go see that video, if you need a good moment in your day, that's a good moment. It'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah. So 49ers now have the bye week. And boy, you know, as we transition to talk a little bit about football, I mean, it's just been their season. You know, that what we saw Monday night against the New York Giants has been their season.
So many close games they've had this season.
I mean, they lost to 8 points. So, you know, theoretically a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. They lost that game to the Vikings. They lost to the Chargers by 2 points. Packers by 3 points, Cardinals by 3 points, and now a 4-point loss.
Thanks for reminding us, Matt.
27-23
really
to the
that.
Giants.
No, it really is. It was
but
so back and forth.
But don't you get the feeling watching them? It's like if it's close, the other team's going to win. I mean, it's just
yeah,
like,
and I hate to say that, but we watch the games next to each other, usually, especially late in the game as we're preparing for all of our post-game stuff that we have to do. And I really do feel like that. Yeah. I don't want to admit it.
Laura's over there going, oh no.
I don't feel very good about
Let's
this.
Let's go something. Don't
but
shield
you know
your
what?
Eyes.
If we're being honest, and that's what we do here on this podcast, that's how I really feel. And I think that's how a lot of fans really feel. You just don't have the trust there. Because they've lost so many close ones.
It's almost like, you know, I know Kyle's talked a lot about this will make us stronger for the future. But until they get to that point, it's almost like, oh, here we go again. You know, who's going to be the one to give up the game-winning touchdown, or who's not going to make the play on offense that gets them into the end zone? It's just kind of, and I don't know if the players feel that way, but watching the games, I know I certainly feel that way. Like, you know, what's going to happen here? Because it's just, I mean, you've seen it so many times now, and we saw it last year. I mean, this is the same team. Obviously, a lot of, you know, some new faces here and there. But, I mean, this is the same team that lost 5 consecutive games last year by 3 points or fewer. So I don't know if you can learn how to win close games, but it sure looks like the 49ers have learned how to lose close games.
Yeah, and I was so hopeful with them having that. The season has been packed. A lot of quick turnarounds. They've had a lot of primetime games, but then they had these back-to-back primetime games, the Thursday night game and the Monday night game. It was 10 days in between those two games, and I was so hopeful with that. I mean, I felt like I sat in the press box and I said to Dante Whitner, I felt like Matt Breida had some pep in his step.
Yeah,
like he just looked like he was back to Breida, because he's just been dealing with so many injuries. And granted, he dealt with injuries in tonight's game too, and I'm sure the bye week will benefit him greatly, and hopefully Marquise Goodwin, who took some tough hits as well. But I just felt like he was back at it. I mean, that time of rest, just to have a few days off, just to let your body get back to normal, whatever normal is in the NFL, as normal as it can be in the middle of a National Football League season. I felt so good about that at the start of the game, and he had a huge game. I mean, he was running all over the place, but they just couldn't – that last – you got to hammer that last nail in, and they just can't do it.
I know one thing. it's I think it's a good thing the bye week is here, because I think everybody in this building needs a bye week.
I think they deserve it.
Yeah, and I think I'm just kind of been worn out from what's happened over the weekend. I'm from Northern California. My mom lived in, I don't know if I should say lives or lived in Paradise. She lost her house. Shane Wallen, his dad lost his house. So it's just been a really difficult
time.
A lot of
heavy stuff to deal with.
Yeah, very heavy stuff.
And you know what? A lot of the people that are listening to us right now, we know a lot of you guys are dealing with it or have friends or family that are going through this too. So, you know, we're kind of all going through it together. I've never experienced wildfires before. Being from the South, I've dealt with tornadoes and hurricanes and things like that. But this is something that I've never experienced before. And it's they're crazy and they're very scary. Yeah. And just seeing the effects that it has so many miles away with the smoke and things like that.
That was part of it on Monday night too, wasn't it? I mean, it was like the game was going on.
There's this haze.
But it was always at the front of your mind, because literally everywhere you looked, you were reminded of a fire that caused so much destruction 200 miles away.
That's what's mind-blowing to me. Is I actually woke up the night that the fires broke out. There was so much smoke. I live 150 miles away from where the fires were. There was so much smoke in our bedroom. Yeah. I woke up. I kept waking up. So I've said it so many times, I can't imagine what those people are going through and what people have had to experience. But next week on the podcast, well, we got a bye week. Do we do the podcast on a bye week?
The podcast does not take a bye week.
We don't take bye weeks.
Next week would be the week to do it. Yeah. So anyway,
we'll leave you guys hanging.
No, I do want to thank again Shane Wallen for opening himself up and talking about a very difficult subject and his road. At one point when he said, I knew I wasn't going to, make a living in the NFL. And I said, oh, but you're wrong. You are making a living in the NFL.
That's right.
And that's one of the great things, I like about this podcast or talking to people that, people don't see, is that there are a lot of opportunities. If you love football, you can still work in the NFL without being a football player.
If you want those crazy hours, you can just sign right up.
That's true. So much of the support staff and everything else, there are opportunities out there. So anyway, I want to again say thank you to Shane and thanks to his dad, who I met over the weekend up there. So I know we do it every week and we're not going to stop. Laura, the honors.
Let's do it, Matt.
Let's do it.
For Paradise.
You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. And please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.